Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are looking at an article that was published in the BYU Magazine, Spring Edition, 2014, an article written by M. Sue Bergen titled, What Can You Do When a Child Expresses Doctrinal Doubts? As we said in yesterday's show, this falls right in line with what we've been saying for a long time, that there is a growing amount of crisis going on with many members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
And that's a good thing.
Their faith is being challenged.
Yep.
Where is it being challenged and why? See, this is something I think is often missed. I think a lot of people that are critical of what we do at MRM think that we should do it a little bit differently, be more relational rather than dealing more in stranger evangelism. You know, for all the criticism that we take, we find that by getting this information out and challenging where the Latter-day Saint is in their life actually works for the betterment. And what I mean by that is that they may not like that we're saying it. And as we've read in the past, you know, just because we're perceived as enemies of the church that somehow you need to throw it away. No, that information needs to be examined. It needs to be questioned. If we're not telling the truth, then certainly reject what we have to say.
Mm-hmm.
But if what we are saying is actually true, and you're a Latter-day Saint that's struggling with this information, I would encourage you, check it out. Let the truth take you where it's going to take you. I'm confident that if you look at all the evidence, it should not lead you into agnosticism or atheism. I would hope it would lead you to a saving relationship in the Jesus of the Bible. Now, what that may mean, though, is that you're going to have to leave the baggage of Mormonism behind. I remember talking to a Latter-day Saint not long ago, and it sounded like he was just so close as far as his belief system and wanting to trust in Christ. And I encouraged him. I says, look, it sounds to me like you really want to have that faith that gives you the peace that passes all understanding. You can have that peace, but you can't have it with Mormonism. Mormonism is going to rob you of the peace that I think you were really searching for. In other words, Latter-day Saint, you can have a relationship with the Jesus of the Bible without having the baggage of Mormonism. And I would tell you this, you're never going to get that peace as long as you hold on to that baggage. That's all we're asking. We're not saying to abandon all faith, not in the least. But there are some things that I think honors God, and that is believing that which is true. It does not honor God to believe things that are false. And that's what's causing the faith crisis of so many Latter-day Saints now, and why articles like this that is found in the spring 2014 issue of BYU Magazine are being written. Because this is becoming epidemic in the Mormon church. It's hemorrhaging.
And you wouldn't have seen an article like this 2 decades ago, I bet, in the BYU Magazine. But now they're being open with some of the issues, such as we read yesterday, the issues that are coming up most often: polygamy, women in the priesthood, race in the priesthood, restrictions before 1978, sexual orientation, and the translations of the Book of Mormon and the Book of Abraham. Before, they were swept under the carpet, so nobody would know. And if a question was brought up, they wouldn't want to deal with it. Now there seems to be a little bit more openness going on.
Well, the article introduces two BYU professors, Rachel Cope and Spencer Fluman, and they're being really interviewed, I guess you could say, for the great majority of this article. And I have to say, they both have some very good things to give to this discussion when it comes to how to handle questions about doubt. In this section that we're going to look at today, they bring up a very good point under the heading Destigmatizing Doubt. And why is doubt something that's coming up so much recently? Remember, not long ago in a general conference message, it was Dieter F. Uchtdorf, a member of the First Presidency, that made that famous statement, "Don't doubt your faith, doubt your doubts." When I first heard that, I thought, boy, coming from a guy of his caliber, that is really kind of a silly statement. Because what if your doubts are because of your faith? The faith that you have in the LDS Church and what you've been led to believe to be true is now being proven not to be true.
Mm-hmm.
So the doubts you have actually are your faith. What do you do then?
Mm-hmm.
So to just say doubt your doubts is so cliche. It's so trite. It was probably insulting to a lot of people who were actually listening to that message because they have some very serious questions and they're looking for answers. I have to disagree with Craig Trimble in the series we did a while back. They're not looking for an out. A lot of these people are not looking for the exit door of the Mormon church when they have questions like this. They're wanting some real answers. The problem is that they can't get good answers from the leadership of the church. And then they start looking for the exit doors under destigmatizing doubt.
A few years ago, Fluman had a student who was undone by what he found on the internet and thought he had to work out answers to his questions before he could consider himself a quote-unquote real Latter-day Saint. Fluman told him that his questions did not make him a second-class member of the church, but rather he told him, quote, "You belong with us in your doubt. We want you here. You are us. We are you. We're all in this together. We're all at some level of spiritual understanding with imperfect faith," end quote. Fluman says he saw relief come over the student's face. Quote, "I could see him realize that, okay, my questions don't disqualify me."
You know, doubt isn't really all in all a bad thing. In fact, even as Christians, we are faced with doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Doubt's a good thing. And as Fluman has said, hopefully it will be used in a way to help you come to the conclusions that you need to come to. And I hope that those conclusions will be truthful conclusions, not living a lie as, well, yeah, I know that's all true, but I'm going to still do this and I'm going to still act like I'm a part of it, even though I don't believe any of it. But I hope it actually leads them in a positive direction. But then the next paragraph is very telling.
LDS culture tends to communicate disapproval of doubt, say the professors, sometimes to the point of causing someone with questions to feel that he or she is unfaithful or unworthy. If someone musters the courage to raise a question with parents or friends and is met with shock or disgust, he or she is often left feeling alone.
Now, there's probably no greater example to this than what we are about to read to you from Answers to Gospel Questions. Answers to Gospel Questions by Joseph Fielding Smith, the 10th president of the Mormon Church. This was a book that was put together based on a column that Mr. Smith wrote, and they just put them into five volumes. But one of the questions had to do with the personage of the Holy Ghost. Listen carefully to the question, and then listen carefully to Joseph Fielding Smith's answer, and you will see the parallel between what Fluman has just said, or these two professors have just said, and what Smith does.
This is found in Volume 2, page 145, and here's the question. How do you account for the Holy Ghost being a spirit, also being a member of the Godhead, since we are taught that the spirit without the body cannot receive a fullness of joy? Will the time ever come when the Holy Ghost will receive a body?
Now that's an important question, because it does make you wonder, how did the Holy Ghost in Mormon theology become a god without going through a mortal probation? The Holy Ghost doesn't have a body. Listen to how Joseph Fielding Smith answers that question.
Answer, there is so much in relation to the gospel that we are required to do and so many commandments to observe and ordinances to receive in order that we may obtain an exaltation in the kingdom of God that we should have no time to enter into speculation in relation to the Holy Ghost. The third member of the Godhead has been assigned to certain duties which are essential in the plan of redemption. We, the members of the church, should so live that we may have his companionship and thus have our minds quickened, our knowledge increased, and our salvation assured. Without this companionship, we are nothing. Our minds could not be enlightened, and our comprehension of the everlasting gospel would be impaired. Why not leave matters which in no way concern us alone and devote our time in gaining knowledge essential to our salvation through the inspired guidance of the Holy Ghost?
What I think you just said, Eric, was don't ask those kind of questions.
Yeah,
the same kind of thing that Spencer Fluman is saying you shouldn't do. Here we have a man who at the time was an apostle in the Mormon church. Later on, he would become the 10th president of the Mormon church, basically blowing off a serious inquiry and a doctrinal doubt that this individual wrote him about.
Well, and sometimes you see this happening, especially in LDS leadership, answering the question that ought to have been asked, not the one that was literally asked.
And that's the famous expression that Robert Millet gave in that video piece that's gone viral. He's actually encouraging young people not to answer the question that someone may be asking them about their faith. Well, if you can't answer our questions, what makes you think we should seriously consider what you believe? Now, as Christians, we don't claim to have all the answers. Of course not. But when it comes to some very simple issues, and many of these questions at this kind of a level are very simple, why is it that the Mormon Church can't give a good answer for these things?
Listen to what Spencer Fluman says on the following line of this article, Keeping the Faith. He says, if they can't find, talking about the students, if they can't find an open, candid, and supportive place to work through honest questions, that's tragic. We stigmatize doubt to the point that people feel guilty for even having the questions. That's not conducive to spiritual growth.
And he's right.
And I think that's true for us as Christians, wouldn't you think, Bill?
Oh, absolutely. I think we need to have answers. We're supposed to have answers. And as I mentioned before, we don't know everything, certainly, but you would think that we would at least know enough that we could give a person a good enough answer to put their mind at ease on these issues. And I would go so far as to say that there are certainly some things within my own Christian beliefs that I don't really have an answer for. Is it faith shaking? No, not really. But certainly, I know that down the road, I'll probably come across the answer to those questions.
But sometimes those are the kinds of questions that make you do a little more research, that makes you stronger in your beliefs. If we think we have the truth, that we should be scared of looking at what others have to say, maybe even attacking our faith or the existence of God, whatever it might be, so that we might be able to look closer at these issues and not just have a blind faith.
In this article, it goes on to say, parents of children in this age of information have a serious obligation to be as informed as possible, say the professors. Parents don't have to be academics or have all the answers, but they can be conversant in the issues that come up most frequently. And I would say that's true of Christian parents as well. I think our kids that are going to secular schools especially are going to be bombarded with questions about their own faith, because we know for a fact that we live in a day and age where many professors in our universities see Christian students as a prize to be won, a faith to crush. And we need to encourage our young people in having answers so that they will know that these things are not worthy of abandoning all faith. I can understand what they're trying to do here in this piece. I think there's something that we can learn as Christians from their responses as well. And tomorrow, we're going to wrap up this series by looking at the last portion of this article, What Can You Do When a Child Expresses Doctrinal Doubts?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. As with most Christian organizations, Mormonism Research Ministry depends on the generous financial support of friends like you. If you like what we do and how we do it, would you consider helping MRM meet its financial obligations? Merely go to our website, mrm.org. At the right, you'll see a donate button. Click there and follow the instructions. MRM is a Christian nonprofit 501c3 organization, and your gifts are tax deductible. Not only that, they are greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support of this ministry.